You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
I mean, it's an extreme maneuver. It's a trip to Switzerland. I mean, you could have pulled a Mac T and downloaded Skype, I would think.
But could you imagine?
No, that's just for piping people.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final half hour. It's an abbreviated Overdrive. The first time this year, the pregame for the Leafs-Pens will be kicking us off the air. Pittsburgh in town, down at Scotiabank. Puck drop at 7 right here on TSN 1050. You can watch it on TSN 4. So the O-Dog is out of here. He's doing panel work tonight. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Brian Windhorst will join us in about 5 minutes. LeBron making his debut for the Lakers tonight. Nobody knows him better or more than Windhorst. And get Brian's take on the Raptors winning last night. It was a cool scene. You know, Kawhi Leonard, double-double, played well.
Plus the buzz around the league about the Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
Like, we talk about it a lot because it's here in our backyard. But like you say, Kawhi coming up here, now people are taking notice. Where before, like, unfairly or not, DeMar has a great season. Yeah, he's an all-star in that. But, like, it's kind of an afterthought.
Yes, it always was.
But
yeah,
now,
it was.
Now you're looking at it, like, it will be, it may not be the number one story in basketball on ESPN, but it's going to be a story.
They will get way more recognition, and they will get way more Vine because of Kawhi.
Right.
And I think his chances of winning an MVP, even if he put forth statistically the exact same season that DeMar has put together before,
right,
or DeMar would have put together. Let's say the trade didn't happen.
Right.
DeMar goes out and has a spectacular year and digs in defensively and starts playing a lot better defensively, and this team wins 62 games and wins the East. DeMar would have a 0% chance of winning. If Kawhi does that,
right,
and it all plays out the same way, statistically, defensively, 62 wins, I think Kawhi's got a real shot at winning the MVP because of who he is.
Reputation.
Reputation. It's a star-driven league. It's a popularity contest in a lot of ways. I mean, in reality, LeBron is in the driver's seat.
Yeah,
especially because he's with LA now, and the Lakers have been terrible for years. If they make the playoffs and LeBron puts up numbers, LeBron will be a runaway slam dunk MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So you're fighting for second if that plays out. Because I think the same thing applies in the NHL. I was thinking about this when we got into this conversation yesterday. Matthews off to a great start.
Yeah.
Great start. But if this continues where he puts up 50 goals, 100 points, the Leafs win the East, people will take something away from him because Tavares is here, Marner's here, Nylander's here. They had 105 points a year ago.
I think he would win. Okay,
here's what I'm saying. I think he would win it if Edmonton misses the playoffs. I think if Edmonton makes the playoffs again and McDavid has 120 points, there's no point in nominating anybody else. I think he would just be handed the MVP. Just like LeBron with the Lakers.
Yeah, okay,
the Lakers
Right.
win 55 games this year, and the kids grow, and LeBron's great. Just give them the MVP and stop.
Because technically, the Leafs can be perceived in Canada anyways as Golden State.
Yes.
A little bit more stacked.
Loaded. He's got the help
right
anyway. Look what McDavid's doing with this team. Look
right
what LeBron's doing with that team.
Right.
Yeah, Matthews is great, but he's got this, that, and the other.
So there's the Cleveland aspect of LeBron. Like, McDavid is Cleveland technically in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden State would be more Toronto.
Yes. I mean, McDavid almost won the... He didn't end up being nominated, but he almost won the MVP last year on a team that finished with 78 points or whatever. Can you imagine if they get to 95 and make the playoffs and he has 115 points?
Yeah, you're right.
There won't be a conversation. He'll just be a lock. He'll win it.
It's a great point, but I want to go a different route with this because Toronto is such a hockey mecca. Because Austin Matthews has had such a great start, I kind of feel like it's his to lose right now. Like,
you think Matthews is in the driver's seat?
I think he's, in, again, pace, and that's why we don't get too excited about the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, because it doesn't just define everything, but a great start obviously helps with that. But I think Matthews, when you're playing that well and you're in a market like this and it's so overexposed is the wrong word, but it is.
Yeah, it's oversaturation. For sure.
It's just in your face. And it's not in your face in Toronto. It's in your face in Winnipeg on a night where they're not even playing.
That can go the opposite way, though.
People sometimes like, with voters. I'm tired of it. I don't want
to. You think a voter in Edmonton's going to vote for Matthews to win? No chance.
You're right.
No chance.
But that's situational. See, that's... I'm looking at a neutral site. Look at somebody like... Look at somewhere in Arizona, and they're looking, well, McDavid or Matthews, maybe they'll be objective to it. I look at it, I go back to, unjustly or not, I don't think Theodore should have won the Hart over Ginla.
I totally agree with that.
But Montreal saturated, and there were some dopes there who didn't even put Ginla on their ballot because they were being vindictive towards it.
Right. They wanted their hometown guy to win.
Right.
Regardless of perceived objectivity and integrity and all that kind of stuff.
That still kind of chaps my ass to this day about it.
Mm-hmm. Although that was such an outlier of a year, as much as, you know, we love Ginla and we love Theodore.
Yeah,
it wasn't like it was, you know, Gretzky and Lemieux and all that. It was kind of a strange year.
You're right. But I just feel like Matthews is in your face, how things are going for him, how things are going for the Leafs. So that's going to help his cause because... whether you like it or not, and whether you're in this market or not, every play is under the microscope for the whole league.
It. Yes, and I think he should be granted credit for that. If you perform under this type of a microscope, that is worth something. But here's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. How you doing, Brian?
Hello.
We were just having an MVP conversation, which we love, because with Kawhi here, it might actually be a realistic goal. I mean, it was never going to happen with DeMar or Kyle, right?
I agree.
I painted a picture, and you tell me if you agree or not. I think if the Lakers make the playoffs, and let's say they end up with home court, and LeBron plays 80 games and puts up LeBron numbers, I don't think there's a point in even talking about anybody else. I think LeBron is a lock. He'll win it. People will hand it to him. It might be unanimous. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
You know, like, you're doing good sports radio right now, but here's how I'd have to answer that. Maybe. You know, maybe. You know, the thing about LeBron and the MVP is, for better or worse, the MVP race is typically framed over the first two and a half months of the season. And then we sort of see a race from there. Occasionally you see a late entrance, but almost all the time, you can take a straw ballot at the All-Star game, and you're going to have the top two. And what's happened is, the last couple of years, LeBron has really sort of eased into the season. He's been the best player, like, in March and April, but he's sort of eased in. And by the time the race is being discussed, you know, he's in fourth place, and, you know, his stats aren't as good. So with a different mindset, with the fact that he's got to, in my mind, push the pedal from the start, that could be the case, but if the Raptors win 64 games and Kawhi Leonard is the same player he was 2 years ago, it's going to be more compelling than if LeBron leads the Lakers to 46 wins, which, if he leads them to 46 wins, it's still a great season. You know, a lot of times, the team success is really compelling.
Well, it's interesting what you say about the first 2 months kind of setting the tone for the narrative and the conversation and how it applies to Kawhi, where he had a double-double last night, played 37 minutes, more minutes than anybody else in the Raps. But there was some rust, and there's going to be some rust. And I actually was thinking about it last night, and I said it on the show. I can't wait to fast-forward 2 months to see where he's at. But how quickly do you think we can see, and we will see, the real Kawhi Leonard?
You know, guys, I spent some time with the Raptors last week, and I talked to Kawhi. And I talked to the nurse, and I talked to Kyle, and I know Kyle pretty well at this point. And what really took me, what I walked away from that time is, they're just as a team in general, they're just being so tentative. You know, I look at them and I'm like, wow, is this a great team? It's deep, it's versatile. It's a very modern team. They have a bunch of guys who can shoot and defend and play multiple positions. I think Siakam, you guys didn't get to see it because it wasn't on TV, but I was at the game in New Orleans, and Siakam attacked Anthony Davis like he was nothing. My jaw was on the floor about this kid who 3 years ago, when he was a rookie, you know, would go 5-6 minutes and never even touch the ball. Ananobi was a revelation in the playoffs last year. I think that's going to go. I look at the whole team and I think this is a badass team. And if things go right and they stay healthy and they come together, they could be right there at the very end. And the whole team, Kawhi included, is so tentative. And, you know, Kawhi was telling me, you know, I can't pay attention to anybody else's expectations of me. I have to pay attention to what my situation is. And I just think that one of the things that the Raptors are fighting is all the chaos and disappointment they have. When they, you know, they can't sort of play free. They have to play as the team that had the coach of the year fired. They have to play as the team that had all their stuff in line last year. They had their bench going. They had their defense. They restricted Kyle's minutes, and they got thrown out of the playoffs. They have to be the team that, yeah, Kawhi has a lot of expectation on him, but even he is trying to protect himself and hold back because he doesn't want to oversell and underdeliver. They all, you know, they're going to be as good as anybody. They've got to get in the mindset that they can be the best, and that includes Kawhi. He's got to be in the mindset that he can be an MVP, because I agree. Last night I thought he played a B game, and it was damn good for a B game, but he's got a lot more to give. This Raptors team can be great, but they have to get over their scar tissue and be a great team.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, I think it's a great point. And the psychological side of things, it's an intangible. You can't put a number on it, but it's real and it's there. And it leads me into my next question about what I'm hearing out of both coaches ahead of tomorrow night's game, where Boston's in town. It's going to be a great game. It's really hyped already. But Brad Stevens did a podcast yesterday, and he said the Raptors are the best team he's seen on tape. Now, I don't know what tape he's watching, if it was preseason, if it was last night. He's like, this is the best team we've seen on tape. All offseason, he was asked about them. He said, they won the East in terms of the regular season. They're the best team, et cetera, et cetera. Nick Nurse asked about that today, and Nurse played the Vegas line, and he said, clearly Boston's the best team, and they're the deepest team. Like, why are they playing this game? Why does Brad Stevens feel obligated to pump the tires of the Raptors, and why is Nick Nurse pumping the tires of Boston?
Well, because of the media. Because if they come out and do what we'd all love to hear as fans and say, yeah, we're going to kick their butt, and then they don't, then they have to deal with the fallout. And that's fine. Like, well, you know, I always say judge a team by the way they play, not what they say. You know, like I went through this with the Cavs and Warriors. They talked about how they, you know, they weren't really rivals and blah, blah, blah. And then I watched them play on Christmas Day, and they were drag them out, knock them, throwing elbows, you know, shoving each other. Like, it was the most intense game, regular season game I'd ever seen. So let's watch actually how they play in the game and decide. But, you know, I asked Kawhi and Kyle about the Celtics, and Kawhi was like, you know, I really didn't watch him last year. I wasn't playing in the league. I mean, that's a ridiculous answer. And Kyle was like, well, some days we'll be good and some days we won't. You know, I mean, I just sort of scratched my head because I was like, you know, you guys could beat these dudes. Like, I know that they're the Vegas, you know, favorite and everything, but I look at this Raptors team and I just see awesomeness potential. And ultimately, I don't really care, and neither do they, whether they show that in October, but just as long as they, I think, at some point understand that they have this talent and they just match it with motivation, I think this is the best Raptors team they've ever had. And if Kawhi plays to his potential, he's got a chance to be the best player in the East. And by the way, the team with the best player in the East won the last eight championships, right, or at least East championships.
As for DeMar, he made his debut last night, played well, and San Antonio picked up a win. What do you expect out of DeMar and the Spurs going forward?
Yeah, just great play, because he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, there's different tiers of athletes in the NBA. So, like, you look at a guy like Karl Towns, number one overall pick. He was all NBA his third year. They just gave him $180 million. I like him as a player. Forget about the Jimmy Butler stuff. You look at the history of guys who were all NBA in their third year, it's littered with Hall of Famers. I think Karl Towns is going to have a wonderful career. He's going to be an all-star a bunch of times. Then I look at Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a guy who can carry a team at some point to a championship. It's probably not going to be this year, but when I have my best player, with all due respect to Karl Towns, I want Anthony Davis. with all due respect to DeMar DeRozan, as good as he is, love to have him on my team, can't have him be my best player. I have Kawhi Leonard. I have a chance to win a championship. That's what Masai Ujiri was talking about. And I understand that he was about, you know, as blunt as a hammer when he made that delivery, and he didn't do the greatest job when he did it. But his point was extremely well taken. If you're going to be a team builder in the NBA, you got to find a guy like Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. We think Giannis. We don't know, but we're kind of excited about Giannis. Anthony Davis. That's the type of player you need. If you don't have a DeMar DeRozan, you'd love to have one. But trust me, the Spurs are farther away from a championship than they were a year ago, and the Raptors are closer because of Kawhi Leonard.
Always great catching up with you. Thank you, Brian.
Take care, guys.
There's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Always brings the heat.
He was bringing it.
He always brings
Early
the heat.
Early on, I was a bit worried.
Dude, he's notorious slow starter in radio interviews.
Really?
It's every time I've had him on, and I should learn from this. Next time I have him on, I'm going to lead him in with a question. Because right. I always bring him on. I'm like, hey, Brian, how are you? And he's like, hello.
Good.
Good.
That I'm like, one word, I'm like, this guy is not feeling it.
Exactly.
I kind of felt bad.
He warms up quickly, man.
I kind of felt bad because I'm like, I wonder if he's sitting there going,
if he was on hold for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't want to hear
something.
These donkeys talking about hockey and stuff. Like, yeah. Let's get rolling.
No, I don't. He's a notorious slow starter, but man, does he get it going.
He was outstanding.
He always brings it. And listen, he said it. I think that's, if you're a Raptor fan, that's exactly what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Like, the fact is, if you have Kawhi, you can win.
Yeah.
And Kawhi can win an MVP. Not that that's ultimately what we're looking for this season if you're a Raptor fan. But Windhorst was saying, he was up here in Toronto a week ago. He's like, they are loaded. They are loaded. But it's a psychological thing. They got to get over the humps, even though they've got some new pieces.
Yeah.
And they got a new head coach. So that's what the regular season is here for. We appreciate Brian Windhorst joining us of ESPN.
He was good.
He was real good. And you know, he said, I can't give you an answer definitively on LeBron and the Lakers and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it'll be an interesting race. You know, the MVP race, he's right in the NBA. The first couple of months kind of determines it. The NHL, it's the opposite.
Right.
Like last year, Taylor Hall won the MVP because of what he did the final two months of the season.
Down the stretch, yeah.
Yeah, and McKinnon the same thing. Kopitar the same thing. So, back to our point about Matthews, 7 games in, he is the lead horse. Right. But it really doesn't matter if he gets injured in a month or two, or well, if he just kind of eases towards an 85-point season, really good season.
But
that's not going to get it done in terms of an MVP race.
It's nice to have your quarter pulls, your mid-season pulls, like down the stretch. You're right, because Hall and McKinnon are prime examples of it. All year we were talking about how Vasilevsky was a hands-down
Vezina
winner, and it was Pekka Rinne who took it home at the end because
that's right.
He was a little bit more consistent.
Jimmy tweeting and saying, what are you talking about, Hayes? Matthews would win it if all things were considered because he's an American and more sellable. I don't buy that at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think votes would be determined based on where he's from.
Yeah, not the American thing. I just say more because of the Toronto thing, because of the saturation and how many... I don't know how the votes are distributed.
Like, the MVP voting,
yeah,
you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sure it's even, but I just feel when you have, for lack of a better word, some Eastern bias. Like, that's the one thing, too. You know, we all know what McDavid brings to the table, but how many times are you going to watch McDavid play when they're playing San Jose or Anaheim, and it's a 10:30 start?
Yeah. No, for sure.
You'll look at the stats the next day.
And same thing with LeBron, right? Now that LeBron's out west, it's a very different scene.
I think that's a lot tougher. When you're in the East, there's people that are just home watching dinner. You're watching it. It's right in your face. Now, if you're a diehard fan, you'll watch the early game, you'll watch the late game, and that's what people do. But not everyone's a diehard fan. They go to bed, they watch the highlights the next day and say, oh, that looked good. Mm-hmm. But you don't. How many people watched Kopitar play last year for the Heart?
Not many.
No.
No, it's tough. It is.
So
I mean,
it's
80% of the population is on the East Coast.
But geographically, that's what I'm saying. Like, Matthews is in a great spot for a lot of people to lay eyes on that live night in and night out. So that could work in his favor. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's kind of a weird shift with what's going on. Like, when you consider Mike Trout is in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Best player in baseball. Unanimously accepted. He plays at 10 o'clock
during the week. In a very quiet market.
In Anaheim, you know, a suburb of L.A. LeBron is now in L.A. I believe still that should be considered unanimously the best player in the game until something changes.
Yeah.
McDavid
is in Edmonton.
Is in Edmonton. You know, like the three big, big boys are all in the West.
Now, L.A. is a massive market. Anaheim is a sub-market.
Yes.
Edmonton is not a big market. It's a hockey market, but it's not. I mean, there's a million people, give or take, in that range, and it's 2 hours earlier than Eastern Conference or Eastern time zone.
Yeah, like they play some 9 o'clock games during the week at home. 9:30.
They play
a lot of 10:30 games.
Yeah, and there'd be the late hockey night in Canada game on the weekend.
Yeah, like they're they start at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So that. Listen, that's the way it goes. I mean, LeBron chose to go there. That's Trout and McDavid got drafted where they got drafted. There's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, and for those fan bases, they don't care about the East, nor should they.
No.
You know, if you're in Edmonton, Anaheim, or L.A., what do you care about Toronto and New York and Philly and Boston?
But
what do you
care? It goes the other way. If you're a Leafs fan that lives in Vancouver, you're watching it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You may be at work. You may be listening to it. You may have to stream it. Like, it does go both ways. It's just a little bit easier when you're in prime time.
Yes.
Out east.
For sure. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I don't expect I'm going to watch a lot of the football game tonight, but if I sprinkle on the game, it may drag me into it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to play some props tonight. I am under the number Case Keenum, 257.5 total passing yards tonight. Over the number David Johnson total rushing yards, 69.5. Under the number first half points. Throw down 20, you can score 98. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So the pregame is coming up here at 6:30. The Tapman and Greg Gilbert live from Scotiabank Arena. Puck drop at 7. You can watch it also on TSN 4. Crosby has not scored. Kadri has not scored.
Yeah, who gets a goal first?
I think Sid scores tonight. Sid has made a career of torching everybody in the league, but he has torched Toronto forever. But I think they might both score tonight.
I think they both scored.
I think Kadri gets rolling.
Yeah, I think he's due.
I think he's played well. Like the last couple of games, I know O was saying he was reviewing the tape and everything, and he didn't think it looked that good. But I thought he looked pretty good in Washington, and I thought he was more engaged against L.A.
It's just But you have to temper expectations just where he's slotted. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to score 30 in the first seven games to prove that he's still a 30-goal scorer.
But I just don't think he gets 30 goals this year. He may not.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean he's a bad player. It's just where he's slotted. He's going to be used in different roles that will be valuable. It just may not be glaringly valuable.
We'll see what we've got tonight. It's a great, great sports night. You got hockey, football, basketball, baseball. It doesn't get any better than this. Pre-game up next, live from Scotiabank. We are out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.